B-Pod Studios.
They get you going.
In fairness, we have to make up for not watching the game.
Every day.
I might watch a baking show.
Toucher and Rich.
What do you expect me to do? Watch every basketball game?
98.5, the Sports Hub.
Let's do it. What I thought you was sugar and spice. Just kidding, sucker.
So he started the song and then stopped.
Yeah, I thought he was singing. Yeah. I thought he was Sugar and Spice, but then he goes, nah.
Okay.
Oh, he was kidding the first time.
Well, the start, I don't remember. Was that him screwing up in the studio? And they just said, ah, just let it roll, man. Just do your thing.
Yeah. Teddy Riley was mad at someone.
Yeah.
985 The Sports Hub, we're Toucher and Rich. If you want to watch us on Twitch and see John getting down on a Wallach Wednesday, look no further. But if you were listening to the show yesterday, you heard us be captivated by Jeff Bezos' flying penis, the multi-billionaire who does not pay taxes. Does not pay federal taxes. He is he built himself a rocket ship, and he's very proud of himself. And if you did not watch it, I know a lot of people heard of it but didn't watch it. We were lucky enough to witness the history. It was a full 9 minutes in totality. And
From up to down,
and they went to near space, which is not space.
Nope.
So here,
the camera never lost sight
right.
of the spaceship.
So here is what I gather happens, is that the penis erupts, and that it hits near space, and then it launches the capsule, the head of the penis, into the, I don't know, what's the technical name for the head of the penis, into the sky, and then it parachutes down. Now, my belief is this. I've not studied it. I'm not an astrophysicist. But is that if you went to space, you then would have to take control of the aircraft and have some sort of propulsion in zero gravity to knock you back into the Earth's atmosphere.
That would make sense. Because
and that would mean you did something.
Yeah, right. And just think, Fred, before yesterday, think of the things that have been achieved when it comes to space flight. There have not only been people in space. There's been people on the moon. There's been people who've lived in space stations for months at a time.
The point yesterday is that a guy who had lived in a space station for 6 months, you could be at a dinner party and you would get bored of his conversation. But meanwhile, Bezos is on everywhere being in a, just because he went high in the air.
There's a guy who basically did a skydive, essentially from the same length where Jeff Bezos there went yesterday.
The same length. There's a Red Bull video, if you don't know what we're talking about, where a guy in a spacesuit, this is real, is on a ledge. They take a hot air balloon up to where basically Bezos was. He's looking down at the Earth, the curvature of the Earth. He's looking down at it. From it's dark everywhere around him. He's hit it, and he jumps in exceeds the speed of sound on his own, not in anything, and then pulls a parachute and lands safely to the Earth. To which I would say, after that, I mean, that's a lot of playing Russian roulette just to get your kicks.
What yesterday was, Fred, was in a world of people who have run a marathon, this was a guy celebrating that he ran down the block to Dunkin' Donuts.
Yep. This is I did a 5K.
I mean, this is really, yeah. I mean, the achievement of space travel has really far exceeded by many what happened. Yes, as a matter of fact, it was equaled just this week, 9 days rather, before Jeff Bezos did it by Richard Branson. So not only was this not really anything monumental, it was something that we saw just several days before this.
There were four guys sitting around the table. They went into a room. They all sat around the table. They were strapped down. And another guy miles away from them hit a button. They went up. They circled around. They came back.
But
they had nothing to do with it. It was
just
a carnival ride.
You would not know that by the press conference that was after the launch.
This is what I wanted to hear, because I wanted to hear someone make a big deal out of this. I mean,
you did, Fred?
Other than throwing money at a bunch of really smart people and saying, I want to go high in the air.
I mean,
what did Jeff Bezos do? Jeff Bezos did not control it. If he went into space and took control of the thing and got back to the Earth's atmosphere, good for you. You're a pilot.
Well, Fred, apparently you don't understand when something monumental has happened like this.
Obviously not.
So I actually sat and watched the entire 50-minute press conference.
50 minutes, not enough time.
5-0, in which they were brought on stage. Fred, would you like to go to the tape? This is, I just took out some of the finer moments.
Yeah, we've only 48 minutes of it. All right, here we go. Here is Jeff Bezos in the gang. I take it wearing cowboy hats?
He is wearing a cowboy hat. The other three are not.
Okay, here we go.
And without further ado, I think it is time to pin these four wonderful people astronauts.
They're awarding them essentially with heroes medals that officially pin them as an astronaut, you didn't actually reach space.
Well, when you get to the top of Mount Washington, you get a bumper sticker, apparently. So maybe this is the same thing.
It's true.
I was at the top of the Peru, very high. I could see the entire city.
Sure, you ate up there at the top of the hub.
Yep, and it was spinning like crazy. Spacemen, you weren't in space.
Jeff, join me, please.
Yeah. This is the pin.
Happy. Thank you. This is such a privilege. There are a few people I know more deserving of this, Jeff. Seriously.
Sycophants. Imagine how empty your life is at this point, because there has to be a part of your brain that realizes that this is all fraudulent, that these people are bought and paid for. And then you start looking around and going, what is real?
I said it yesterday. I was like, imagine being one of these dudes who was in a space station for months at a time. Nobody knows your face. And you're sitting in a bar drinking, watching this guy. Really? Nobody deserves it more than that? I lived in a space station away from humans.
Well, yeah. And all the astronauts that...
I had to pee in a floating bag.
The monkeys that have gone into space
that's a good point.
Deserve more than you.
Great point.
Yeah. I mean, people have died up there. And... But can you imagine being Bezos and just the sycophants? And it's almost like living in the Truman Show. Everyone is bought and paid for. They're all hired actors. All these are hired actors to kiss your ass. And there has to be a part of him that is still grounded enough in reality to just touch him before he goes to sleep and say, you're a fraud. You didn't do nothing. All right, here we go. Pay taxes. Why aren't you playing? Oh, all right. Hang on. Here we go.
I don't know what you're going to do next, but I can't wait.
Pay taxes.
To watch.
I like to watch you pay taxes.
Just real quick.
Please.
I want to thank a few people. I want to thank every Amazon employee and every Amazon customer. Because you guys paid for all of this. So.
Go to your independent booksellers.
Could you imagine if your boss showed up, who didn't give you the types of breaks that I think are the most unions would approve of, and the type of living and wages, and he pulled up with a brand new super Ferrari and said, I would like to thank all of you for helping me pay for this.
I'd have more respect for it, because at least it's a Ferrari and it's sitting right in front of me. It's not some guy pretending he was in space.
Yeah, you have to actually drive that thing.
He's talking in this as if he did something great for humanity. Yeah. Like, in his mind, he truly believes he did something that has never been done. And without him, it couldn't have happened. Dude, it happened last week. Richard Branson did the exact same thing, which, once again, seems like it was for personal gain.
Because your boss might have had a vision board when he was 16 with some stupid Ferrari on it, and he finally got his wish. So congratulations, you are driving a Ferrari. The title is in your name. Yeah, this is someone who, you know, this is like a guy who borrowed a gold chain or borrowed Eddie Van Halen's guitar and then said, look at me, I'm in Van Halen. No, you were in a thing that looked like a rocket ship, but you didn't go nowhere. You went high into the air. That's all. You didn't go into space. Big deal. You went high. And I would rather do what you just did, I'll say it again, than fly to Japan. Because at least that's only 9 minutes that I have to endure.
Right. You can avoid a breakdown for nine minutes.
Yeah, I can suffer through panic for 9 minutes. I mean, put me on something for 20 hours. That's a different story.
The longest flight you've ever been on. How long?
9 hours, 10 hours?
To where?
That's probably about me.
Paris?
Okay.
I think it's the furthest I've gone.
Okay.
Yeah, Paris would be the furthest I've gone. I mean, I drank and medicated myself the whole way.
Sure.
I don't know how people can just get on a plane straight. I don't know how they do it. All right, here we go.
Seriously, for every Amazon customer out there, and every Amazon employee, thank you from the bottom of my heart very much. It's very appreciated. Now, on to how it felt. Oh, my God! The most profound piece of it for me was looking out at the Earth and looking at the Earth's atmosphere. Every astronaut, they say this, that it changes them, and they look at it, and they're kind of...
Oh, you are not an astronaut, dude.
White stuff. You are not in that club.
That's like, yeah, he like drank Tang and went, look at me, I'm Neil Armstrong.
Right. This is a guy who played at the YMCA and saying, for every professional basketball player.
For every, yeah, I won a $5 50-50 raffle at the Y. You know, for everyone who's achieved greatness. In their athletic field of choice. I won the member at my golf club. I mean, for everyone who's achieved this greatness.
They say this, that it changes them, and they look at it, and they're kind of amazed and awestruck by the Earth and its beauty, but also by its fragility. You know, that's a very profound. It's one thing to recognize that intellectually. It's another thing to actually see with your own eyes.
And now I know that it's very important that I pay my federal taxes. Ladies and gentlemen, I have learned the error of my ways, and now I will pay federal taxes for the rest of my life. What are you going to do about it? You're so profound. Big, profound moment for you for the 10 seconds that you panicked and looked out the window when you were just high in the air, not in space, and had no control over it. You were on a ride. You were on a carnival ride.
How fragile it really is. And that was amazing. So, and then I have a couple of things to show. Can we start? Do you want to talk about the couple of things we flew?
So we had the opportunity to bring with us, it was actually on loan from the Explorers Club. We were able to fly with a piece of canvas from the Wright Flyer. So the plane that the Wright brothers flew, we brought a piece of that canvas with us, which was really powerful as well.
It was really powerful. So they invented the airplane that allows us to travel around the world. And you went and went up to a length where someone has parachuted from.
Right. You took something substantial and you did something unsubstantial with
Yes, I have with me the Ten Commandments here, and I can think that what we did. I have here the very rib removed from Adam to make Eve. I have created life.
I used the pen that wrote the first manuscript of Romeo and Juliet and wrote Everybody Poops with it.
Yes, indeed. Because what we have done is right up there with the invention of flight.
As well as a bronze medallion that was made from the first hot air balloon flight in 1783, which was the first time man ever left the Earth and controlled flight.
You got a lot of stuff.
We
were
very thrilled to be able to
bring both of those along with us.
Sounds like a fake club that you may have ever
existed. Amelia Earhart's goggles.
All right. Well, you collect a bunch of stuff, you dork.
Meanwhile,
Ursa is like, I got Garcia's guitar from Altamont, man.
You could have loaned it to him. We could have loaned it to you.
I've got this half-eaten rack of ribs that Garcia wasn't able to finish.
Yeah, I got the load that he left in the toilet.
10-1 Ursa sitting in his big office in Indianapolis said, I'm on the next flight. Yeah. I'm bringing all my stuff with me.
I don't think one person thought this was cool that wasn't paid by Bezos.
No.
Not one person thought this was cool.
The one she flew across the Atlantic with, solo.
Yeah, same day.
I like to think that if Amelia were here...
Oh, Jesus.
Amelia, wherever you are, we hope you're watching all of this.
Thank you. My God. I hope you lose all your money.
That's a very sweet sentiment. I hope Amelia Earhart is here.
Holy crap.
I hope Conrad Bain, who played...
Mr.
Drummond on Different Strokes is somewhere watching this. He was also rich, in theory. This is a profound effect on him. Let's see all the wonderful things he does now.
I'm going to go to the putt-putt course, and I'm going to like get par. I'm going to go Arnold Palmer somewhere.
Yeah. I got my kids to stop fighting. Gandhi, I hope you're somewhere watching.
I'm sorry.
Oh, please go ahead.
Thank you. Lauren just reminded me. I have one more thing, which is... And Christina, I might need your help on this, but Mom, could you come up for a second? Where's my mom? Okay. I wore this necklace, and it is a blue origin feather, and I word up into space, and now it's for you.
Near space. Near space. I wore it near space. I wore this very high up in the air.
Did you see at the end of the press conference? Because obviously he could tell that probably people just weren't into this as much as he thought it was. He just randomly, what was the name of the award? It was called like the I'm a Great Guy Award. It was like Jeff Bezos is the best award. And he gave $100 million to like some CNN anchor and another guy just because he liked them.
Huh?
He gave him $100 million. And he goes, this isn't for any specific charity. Van Jones. You have like Van Jones and another guy, $100 million for no specific reason. It was use it as you wish. Just to make it seem like Bezos was a nice guy.
I could think of nicer things than giving an already wealthy anchor a lot of money.
I don't know who Jeff Jose Andres is. Is that the other guy? It was just a Jeff?
Chef, sorry. He's a chef.
Oh, chef. Okay.
Oh, he's the guy.
He does all the meals.
He's a good guy.
Yeah.
Okay.
So he's a good guy.
Rich, sorry, but that press conference that went on and on is like us having to sit through that harassment training.
Right, right.
Asking questions.
Yeah, exactly. Well,
but he didn't donate to a charity. He gave it to these guys and said, you could do whatever you want with the money.
Yeah, all right. Good for him. $100 million.
It was called the Courage and Civility Award.
In honor of me going very high in the air. Very high. You could barely see me up there.
Was the Explorers Club the South Park crew that Chef was a part of that ended up being pedophiles? Do you remember in South Park, wasn't it called the Explorers Club?
No, I don't know.
When they wrote Chef off the show because Isaac Hayes had like spoken out against South Park.
Gave him a grisly death on the show.
Yeah, I think he was a member of the Explorers Club, I think was the name of it.
Well, listen, how many of us can go so high in the air with take our money and go so very high in the air and then parachute down strapped into a seat from a height that men have jumped from with nothing on them but a parachute in a spacesuit. Congratulations to Bezos for getting the humility of realizing that no one thought that was cool and that it will get to you that no one thought it was cool, and then you're going to have to review your whole situation that everyone just likes you because you're paying them.
The Super Adventure Club. That's what I'm being told it was called, not the Explorers Club.
All right. We'll be right back. Cedric Maxwell will join us.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
Every day.
He looks worse than me. Way worse than me.
Toucher and Rich.
And I don't look good.
On 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Oh, another bad creation. I know this.
I don't think so.
You gotta live and learn.
Go public.
I gotta live and learn.
Yes, you do.
I gotta learn a little bit more about New Jack. Now, in fairness, it's almost identical to the beginning of At the Playground.
The beats are somewhat similar, yes.
Well, also that squeal.
Yes.
I am going to go. I'm going to go introduce Cedric Maxwell. Cedric Maxwell, who was in this group. He actually discovered New Edition.
Hey.
He's a color analyst for the Boston Celtics basketball, obviously.
I wonder if Cedric Maxwell knew about John's love of New Jack music.
Did you know that, Cedric Maxwell, on the Volkswagen Dealers Expert Hotline?
No, did not. Never heard that. You know, I was around when Bobby Brown and New Edition and all that group got started, but no, didn't know that much about that particular name.
Were they ever around any of these? Because I'm trying to think of the timeline, the Celtics games. Was that, I guess it was a little bit after your time playing there, right? Okay, all right.
Yeah. Yeah, that was after Michael Bibbins, I think, was who was one of the members of.
Oh, we know.
He was the first guy on the floor when the Celtics won their last championship with Kevin Garnett and Paul Pierce and Ray Allen.
He's sneaky rich. Now there was a where you were playing, Cedric, and then in the years following, there was a not much younger than you, John Wallach, in Lexington, Massachusetts, just pumping New Jack music every day.
Mm-hmm. That's correct.
And staring at a Cedric Maxwell poster in his room.
Yep.
Every day he was listening.
That's scary. That is really scary to know that John was doing that. But I could imagine John is, he's a Renaissance man, so he knows all that kind of genre.
He does. He is a Renaissance man. If you call being a Renaissance man completely focusing on one aspect of music. Cedric, so I was very excited to see the Bucks win, and you are from a generation. You willed the team to an NBA Finals victory. I'm not kissing your ass saying that. That is the facts. As a player from a tougher generation of NBA players, was there satisfaction in seeing a guy who got drafted by a team stay with the team, grow with the team, and win a championship?
You know, it was I liked the fact that he won. Just it wouldn't necessarily didn't mean that because, you know, you think about it, if I talked about Robert Parrish, and he wasn't homegrown, and he won championship by coming in. So I think circumstances are different, but in Giannis's case, you had to be happy for the Bucks, and you had to be happy for the fans. 50 years of waiting around since Kareem won it, and to hear the excitement and the joy and the exhilaration. I mean, that place is god awful when I go to Milwaukee. So now go there and to win the championship, I'm so happy for the city. Happier.
Okay.
Did we lose him? All right. Let's call him back because the connection.
Which might be a good thing because that was starting to get
It was weird because Max's least favorite spot on the road is Milwaukee. He's never liked going there. So it is.
You mean to call a game?
Yes.
Or to play? Okay.
Well, both. He just said it was god awful to play there. And
Milwaukee is a very nice town in the summer.
Okay.
Sure. It's nice. Then it sucks after that.
Yes.
It's really bad.
Some people can say the same thing about here.
That was the place. Yeah. Well, yeah. I can say the same thing about here. It sucks.
Yeah.
It sucks this summer.
Dan just made a good point. No one wants to be calling a game on a Tuesday night in January in Milwaukee.
No.
I've actually done that. I know exactly what he's right.
Do they at least keep the hotel you stay in close to the arena?
No. Oh, God, no. Oh. No, we're ways off.
Really? That's it? Because there's hotels there. It's not Oklahoma City.
Again, when I called the game, it was in the old building. They're in a new building now, so I don't know what the setup is.
Well, they had you in Auburn Hills in Michigan. I can't imagine them. No. Well, you got to stay at the Townsend, though. So the Townsend is a very nice hotel.
That's about 25 minutes away.
It was in Birmingham.
Is that the worst town to call a game in, what? Max? Is he back with us?
Is Max back?
Oh, I thought we just got him back. Yeah.
Oh, I went too quick. I got two thing on the phone.
Is he not back?
All right. He's not back.
Oh, okay.
All right. Don't worry about it. It's fine.
He told Nicky he was in bed.
Okay, it's fine. It's okay. Don't worry about it. We'll talk to him later.
We can talk to him later.
Don't worry about
it. I would like to know what he thought about Monty Williams, the coach of the Suns, afterwards, because he was getting praised by everyone yesterday. So Monty Williams, if you didn't see it, he went into the locker room of the Bucks after the game, put his arm around Giannis while they were celebrating.
Yeah.
It's the coach of the Suns. And said, quote, "I just wanted to come and congratulate you guys as a man and a coach. You guys deserved it, and I'm thankful for the experience. You guys made me a better coach. You made us a better team.
I mean, Max played for guys like Bill Fitch, who he's been on the show and talked about how he hated him after a while, and Casey Jones, who was a lot like Monty Williams, very, very unassuming. I can't see Casey Jones going to the Lakers locker room, throwing his arm around Magic and saying, congratulations, buddy. You're great.
Can you imagine what would have happened if after the perfect season was blown, Bill Belichick, after the Super Bowl, went into the Giants locker room.
Tom Coughlin, and put his best.
And put his arm around Eli Manning, the guy that just broke your heart. Because remember, the Suns were up 2-0. The Suns wanted this just as bad as Milwaukee. It's not like this that they were used to winning. Like, this was a dream about to come
more
true.
More historic. It would have been more historic.
No question. And they blew it. They were up 2-0, and they blew it. And the coach of your team that you live and die by went over there, put his arm around the other coach in the locker room while they were celebrating and spraying champagne. That would piss me off as a Suns fan.
Well, the best point is, what if Tatum did it? You what if Tatum after the Nets series went in like clowned around with Kyrie? And the thing is that I don't have as much of an issue as Rich does. I respect his opinion on it. I don't have as much of an issue with it as he does, but I understand where he's coming from. The thing I certainly don't understand is how I woke up this morning and Twitter was full of people, and SportsCenter was full of people like crying and like saying how wonderful it is and like just what's so great about it.
It's one of those things where I don't live in a fantasy land where I think that these people truly hate each other. I just want, immediately after the wound is fresh, for you to have some sort of semblance that this mattered to you.
I would hate, I think I could, over a course of a 7-game series where there was that much on the line, develop a strong dislike for my opponent. Absolutely.
Oh, hell yeah.
As a coach, especially.
But as I said, round one, if Jason Tatum had gone into the locker room and while, let's say, the Nets were celebrating because they had won round one, and Tatum went and put his arm around Kyrie Irving and made a speech about how proud of them they were and that it made him a better player, dude, he'd get run out of town.
Well, I would want him out of town. I would say that...
I don't want that guy. No.
No, I wouldn't want that guy. I want a guy that's upset. I want a guy that
takes an hour to speak to the media afterwards. I want a guy that throws things. I want a guy that cares a lot.
I want Scal crying on the streets of Hollywood.
Yeah. I mean, that was awesome. That was a pure, genuine moment. On top of that,
if you don't know, Scal called us after they lost to the Lakers in L.A. He called us about 3 a.m., 6 a.m. our time, 3 a.m. L.A. time, just wandering the streets.
2010, right?
Yep. And you had that day off.
I had that day off. I was in Vegas at the time.
Yes.
So I had to live with a bunch of Lakers fans losing their minds after winning that championship.
Yeah, well, it's such a novel thing for them to win the championship.
If
Tatum would have done that, and the thing about to put Tatum into it is that I think the difference between him and Giannis, because people are asking, is Giannis, will this affect players? When you think of players, great players that are on teams that aren't in traditional, now they're a traditional city, but not in a city that people want to go to necessarily.
You're not New York, Miami, or LA,
right? And so when you think about that, And to that, I would say I think Tatum and Giannis are on different planets right now in terms of their attitude and maturity. I don't know if it's because Giannis grew up outside of the AAU system. I don't know if it's the, you know, being a mid-first-round pick, certainly not developing into this body. I don't know until later. I don't know. Maybe he didn't have everything handed to him this way.
I don't even think it's as much of a knock on Tatum as it is just praise for Giannis, because Giannis is different than most of the NBA.
Well, it shows you, and what I've learned, paying attention to all this to the degree that we have to, is that these guys that are going to be perennial champions, and these guys that do what Giannis did, are a different breed. I mean, the LeBrons, now the Giannis, he went for 50 points on 25 shots. Let's stop the nonsense. I mean, they were debating it might be the second greatest finals performance of all time. So next to Magic's as a rookie. But so there's a different mentality. There's a different mentality with a Kevin Garnett.
With a Kobe Bryant. LeBron James.
With LeBron James, and now Giannis, there's just a different mentality that is necessary.
You know what's weird is I think Durant has that mentality, but he's just screwed it all up. He's just screwed everything up. I mean, I keep coming back to this could have been Durant's story.
He would have
stayed in Oklahoma.
He's good enough, certainly, to do it, but he does not have the mentality to do it because he would not allow that to happen.
He's buried it in all of his mental gymnastics that he goes through.
He's a tortured soul, and he just doesn't have that will.
See, I think on the court he does. I think in the court and him.
But it doesn't matter.
But
the point is, it doesn't matter.
The choices he has made have made that point immaterial. He's not.
He doesn't believe it off the court because he won't put himself in a situation where he's the guy. So his titles don't mean as much. They don't. He went to a all-time great team,
and that's
that had already won.
That's the sinking feeling that he's feeling this morning. It's too late. You can't go back now. He'll never have that.
No.
He's not going to leave and join a team at the age of 35 and try it again.
He can't.
He has James Harden. He has Kyrie Irving. Even if he trades one of them, he specifically went to Brooklyn to get a super team.
Yeah, he literally can't do it.
Yeah. And it's not to say that necessarily it's the team that drafted you. It's just this idea of again, this Kyrie Irving conspiracy thing where, you know, the NBA is like lording over us.
With, say you don't like Oklahoma City, you go to another team to set up shop, but it's not a team that had anyone in particular. They might have some good players, but you went there to put the team over the top on your back.
Right.
That's not something Durant has done or will ever do.
He can't do it now.
He's
done. Then you got to criticize LeBron. Except for when he went to Cleveland.
Well,
No. Although with Cleveland, he had a super team as well.
No, it's different. LeBron is the unquestioned reason why they won. But all of those teams. He's the unquestioned reason why he was there, why they were there. He is one of the best players in the history of the league. He's the exception to this rule. Yes, he went to Cleveland, had Kyrie and Love, but it was LeBron's team. Specifically. Durant goes to Golden State. Was that his team? No. When he went to Brooklyn, he had Kyrie Irving. He went there with his buddy to go win something.
And they haven't won.
And they haven't won anything.
No, LeBron is
LeBron's different.
I mean, how many championships? I mean, LeBron is a different player. He took a Cleveland team to the NBA Finals.
Went back and looked not too long ago. Because I was just messing around, and I saw the team that he had around him. Oh my God!
Yeah, but the year they beat the Pistons when he was a kid.
Before Cleveland, he was Kevin Durant. Because Kevin Durant, Kevin Durant was the best player on the Clippers. The Warriors. And LeBron James may have been the best player on Miami, but I mean,
he was the
Dwayne Wade was not too far behind.
He was the best player on the Warriors, but the Warriors had already won before he went there. And he had other Hall of Fame players that he was joining. He wasn't there to go lead that team anywhere.
Dwayne Wade had won a championship.
He was going there to win everything because he knew he had the supporting cast around him to do it.
So was LeBron when he went to Miami. Same thing.
LeBron is unquestionably the best player on that team.
If LeBron would have won, to follow your argument, fine. Say Miami's a wash. Then going back to Cleveland and winning, and then going to LA.
That's what I said. I said before he went to Cleveland, he was Kevin Durant.
Sure. Why not? Yeah, he joined a super team. Sure. And then since then, he's proven that he's not. But Kevin Durant is not LeBron James.
No.
No.
But it takes a special mentality and a special will that just some guys don't have, or most don't have. The vast majority don't have. You're lucky to get 2-3 a generation. And so Giannis is one of those guys now. So he's answered every question. Every question has been answered about Giannis. 50 on 25 shots. That's insane. In a clinching game. Nuts. We'll be right back.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
And
that's got to be a soul-killing exercise.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
What's this, John?
Oh, come on.
I even know this.
Night and Day, I'll Be Sure.
What year is this?
Oh, I'm a guess. Jesus. Should I guess?
Yeah.
90.
No, earlier.
Oh, I see. I was going to go 90.
89, I'm going.
No, I'm thinking it's 87.
I'm going to go 90.
I can check. I think it's 87 or 88.
This is a Jeremy Jordan vibe.
It says 88.
88.
Wow. Yeah.
So in 88, I had discovered punk rock music, so I was not.
John did not.
I did not. I stayed in this lane.
I mean, well,
Appetite was only 1 year old at that point.
Gene Arliss came out, I think, the Christmas of 88. So
yeah, I was splitting my time between Poison and Descendants at that time.
That was right around Girls, Girls, Girls might have been the Motley Crue album at that time.
And this is not far after. This is 2 years after License to Ill. Run DMC were putting out Beats to the Rhyme. in Run's house at this point.
Yep.
There was no time for I'll Be Sure.
No.
I told you, I saw this guy in concert once.
Yeah, you did.
Yeah.
When did you do this song over and over and over again?
Yeah, I did like four songs. It wasn't a lot. Not much to I'll Be Sure. Okay.
Is an I'll Be Sure show just kind of him standing in the front with like three dudes dancing behind him?
Essentially.
Yeah, I mean.
You know, it was him and then Bobby Brown was right after him doing the same act, only about 80 million times better.
So I'll be. All right, so, you know, young Nicholas is getting married in the most inconvenient of ways. He's getting married. And then it occurred to me that he's getting married, and we have to find out how our kids are going to be taken care of. What do you... Now, Nick is getting married in a part of Maine that I've never heard of. But suffice it to say, it's the 3.5-hour drive.
Yep.
And no matter how many times he comes in here and BS's about how long it took him to get up there, he's full of it. There's no way he got up there in the amount of time. He's shaving an hour off the time. But then again, driving to Nick is nothing because in his head is Tweedles birds and everything. It must be bliss. There's no thoughts in the kid's head. He can sit and just exist. So he's getting put. Does everyone know what they're doing with their children? Now,
yes.
I don't have family here.
Yes, I do know.
Okay, you are dropping your kids off in Maine.
Yes, my dad has a place a little over halfway there.
What are you doing, Rich?
My kids are staying in the hotel room.
Wow.
Yeah, we're driving. We're actually getting there the day before, and we're going to spend the kind of day in that area. And then that night, they're just going to play video games, and we're going to go to the wedding.
Woof. See, I'm not taking my kids to that wedding.
Well, it's better than having to deal with like finding someone and shuffling them around.
That's the rub. I'm not taking my kids and staying in a hotel room with them. I mean, if I can't find someone,
get a cottage. They got those there.
Well, no.
Get a 2-bedroom cottage.
No. No, I'm not taking my kids up for a wedding. That's crazy. First of all, I don't want to be in the car with my kids for 3.5 hours, let alone...
It's coming from a guy who loves road trips. Like, I got no problem with being in a car.
That's a good point.
Yeah, you do love road trips.
Mm-hmm. Love it.
But you were not going on a road trip. You were going to go on a road trip, but now you're not.
I was going to. Nope, unfortunately, we had to completely cancel everything and redo it and try to figure out something. Which
is everything all right?
Fun. No, it's just that, you know, it's down in Florida where we were going. Like, right in the middle of where everything's blown up, unfortunately. Okay. And I got a son who's not vaccinated, so.
All right. So he's doing this. I don't know what we're going to do with our children. But anyway, if his bachelor party is of any foreshadowing of what this wedding is going to be like, it's going to be an unmitigated disaster.
I made a horrible decision yesterday to ask Nick. I was like, so Nick, what's going on with the bachelor party? And all I heard was this. Well, we don't
guys. Oh boy!
So, and that's not again, Nick's fault.
It's
Nick
not
is
Nick's
not the one in charge of this.
If you don't know, Nick has got one bachelor party that his friend Sean Silver, who does a show with the effeminate sounding guy, Southern and feminine sounding guy, on the weekends. He goes, I have a bone to pick with these friends.
Not that you may have you're confusing the names of Nick's friends, though, too, which is funny.
He's the guy from Parks and Recreation?
He's the guy from Family Guy, the dude with the hoop earring and
Jack
Family
McBrayer?
Guy.
Is that who I'm thinking of?
But he's like all pissed off because he fills in on Fugger and Maz, and he's like, and I just said to the Red Sox, screw them. And it's so funny to hear.
Who are you talking about?
What's his name?
Matt McCarthy.
Matt McCarthy.
I don't hear the.
He sounds like a cast member of Designing Women.
Yes, he sounds like sounds like he works in Atlanta boutique design firm. But it's because now I can't get that
because the way you're talking is it sounds like Delta Burke.
He sounds like exactly like the dude from Family Guy with the hoop earring, who's like my. Stars. But he's like, so, but he gets all pissed. And I think he's like from around here too. And like, I don't know how he ended up talking this way.
All right.
But if you can find a clip of him, you'll never be able to get it out of your head.
It's the Chris Lee guy? The Chris Lee
yes,
goes
he
best.
He sounds
guy?
Like Chris Lee goes best. He's like, oh, he's like, man. And Tatum's a total fraud. It's nonsense what this fellow's up to.
So this is like Chrisley Mike Felger?
Yeah, and then Felger like eggs him on because Felger likes he's all negative and everything. And then like he's like, and Tatum, I'll just tell you what, he's a wuss.
Now I need to hear this.
Yeah, you do.
I listen to Matt. I never picked up on that.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. Yeah, 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 right. Yeah. It's a whole thing. And every time I hear him, I hear it now, too. He's got this inflection in his voice.
It's going to be tough to shake that the next time I listen
to him. Oh, yeah, it's going to haunt you. So who's his friend? Sean Silver is his friend.
No, Tucker Silva is the guy you're thinking
of. Oh, Tucker Silva.
Yes.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Well, oh, my bad. The same last name, basically.
But I don't think that he's not the one in charge of the one that we're all going to. All we know is the date, and all I know is that there's
the
only
stupid
like
stupid date.
I don't know who's been asked. The Evite, it doesn't show who's been invited. It only shows that
it doesn't even have any kind of even inclination of what to wear.
Like, I don't know where we're meeting. I don't know anything. I don't even know who's sending the Evite.
Only in a couple of weeks, so we have plenty of time to put it together.
Well, I will go to this. I will go to this.
Okay.
I'm going to go to this.
Great.
But the thing is indeed, his dad is supposed to be in charge of it.
Yes.
Because Joe Murray's not even his friend, was taking the reins of this thing.
When last I heard, the things that were being batted around were, okay, maybe we start in the North End for dinner, then we wind up somewhere
else.
They
sent out an invite that said we're going to end up at a casino, which is the stupidest thing in the world, because everyone knows at a bachelor party or any type of affair like this, the venue should get smaller and smaller and more intimate the more the evening goes on. You don't end up at a big cathedral full of light and people at the end of a bachelor party. You should be put in a safer womb, a more intimate womb of people.
Okay,
where more can happen as the night goes on.
So what we're saying, Fred, is that this falls on Joe Murray. This all falls on Joe Murray, because you saying that Nick's dad should be planning this, that may be true, but Nick's dad's not the one sitting down at the computer doing all the ways and means. He needs to have Joe Murray meet with him, say, what do you want to do? I'll make it happen.
Right. And so all I want is you not to get involved. I'm not going to get involved. I'm going to show up to it.
I am dying to get involved.
Because you kept trying to talk yesterday. I kept telling you, don't talk.
Because I just want to go, all you got to do is this.
Because I am going to show up where I'm supposed to show up at the time I'm going to show up, and I'm going to watch this catastrophe unfold. And that's what's going to happen. And Mark's going to be there, and Mark will be happy as a clam because he gets to share this with his son.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And Matt McCarthy will be there, and he'll have a bone to pick. I mean, you call this a centerpiece? My stars.
Now I got to hear this.
This is fall themed. Damn, middle of July. In this piece. Pull him. I'm telling you, he talks like that. At least to me, that's how it sounds to me.
You don't like the North End idea, Matt? You're not a fan of that?
North End? Talk about carbo loading. No, thank you. No, thank you. All right, we'll be right back in just a moment.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.